Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We've got some Browns to get into here in, momentarily there, Jason, but you have poo-pooed the Manzardo the Gardo. It rhymes. It's a great nickname. A lot of people love it. Many people love it.
Why does he need a nickname?
Isn't that how sports works?
Can we see if he's good first?
No, I don't
think.
By
the way, I think he's going to be really good.
Wait, you think you have to be good to get a nickname?
It helps.
No. I mean, okay. I agree with... I'll meet you halfway. It helps. Sometimes it's funnier if you're trash and have the nickname.
I think you're trying too hard to... I think you're just trying too hard.
That's
possible. You got to let it organically...
Well, how do you know it wasn't organic? Maybe it just came out one day. How do you?
Because you took his last name in full form and attached the team's nickname of the nickname and called it a nickname.
Okay,
that's not letting something happen organically. That's very forced.
I'll agree that it's a hat on a hat. I will agree that it is a hat on a hat.
That's an excellent illustration.
But beyond that,
yes.
So wait, when Matt Boyd gets a strikeout and I yell, "Yeah, Boyd," is that a hat on a hat?
That is a fun play on a name that already exists. I'll allow it.
Okay. All right.
I'll allow that.
So when we talk about Gavin Williams or Tanner Bibee, we go, "Gavin, Tanner," which is a way to mock guys with names that sound like they're from California. Will you allow that?
I don't know.
That's your last time on the show.
I'm not the judge.
That's yeah. All right. You're not the...
Why?
So Scott on Twitter saying, that's literally our job, is to be the judge and jury. I'm not going to have an opinion on something that I totally have an opinion on. Scott on Twitter saying, Kyle, he Manzardo.
I like that better than Manzardo the Gardo.
He-Manzardo?
He-Man, because at least you're like having, you're combining, yeah, I like it. I like it.
I think you just feel like you got off the hook because you didn't come up with something better yourself. Huh?
I don't need to nickname him. He's been here for like 2 weeks. We don't have to give him a nickname.
Update on the Twitter poll here, as 85% of 350 votes saying that winning the division in baseball is worth a post-game champagne celebration in the locker room, including Nick Camino, a local legend, WKYC's own, who said, yes, winning a division title is worthy of popping champagne and having a celebration. However, doing it twice, one for the division, one merely for a playoff spot, that's a bit much.
That's very true.
Now that's middle ground. Now I feel like we're in a good spot here to completely tear the show apart by probably having a knockdown dragout about Deshaun Watson. So we put it off for an hour and 5 minutes. There is no more putting this off. We'll get back to the results, by the way, later in the show.
So I have to interject and say this. So we're getting ready to start the show, and as the headphones are going on, Nick goes, "Hey, just so you know, I'm going to push back on you a little bit when we get to the Deshaun thing." It's like,
I did not say it that way.
Well, you kind of did.
I did not answer, like, everything was a question. I said it like a man.
And I said, you cannot possibly offend me. Like, have you heard what Ken and I have said to each other in the morning?
All right. Have you heard what I've said to everybody else who works here? Because I definitely thought I was in the clear calling Dustin unintentionally funny once, and I heard it for the next 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was meant as a compliment. I thought I was being sly, and I think he picked up on it. So I could be biting unintentionally.
You cannot offend me. It's impossible.
Oh, that's the kind of thing that I hear.
Bring it. Ken said the same thing. Ken has tried. He has failed.
Yeah, but that's
kind of... You cannot offend me.
That's kind of the bit, but...
No, but it's true.
Well, let's get into this, all because right. Amanda Guerra, who was on the sidelines for CBS this weekend... in-game, drop this tidbit on Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson, how he's trying to get righted going into this week and in this situation in Cleveland.
Well, Chris, we were able to sit down with Deshaun Watson last night, and he admits this week has been very tough for him. In fact, he said, I didn't have the mental clarity to get ready for this game until about Wednesday. But here's something he wants people to know. He said, I'm not trying to be the same quarterback I was in Houston 4 years ago. He explained that back then he felt like he needed to be Superman every game. With this Browns offense, he says, I trust him a little bit more where I can be a facilitator. That said, we all saw the struggles with him in week one. So his goal for this game is completions. Those dynamic plays we used to see, he says those will come with time.
That is courtesy of CBS. I saw your tweet about it. Would you just like to read it on air so we can begin?
So normally I'd be at these games, mm-hmm. right? Like normally I go to almost all the Browns games. I didn't go to Jacksonville, so I was home.
It's Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, that had a lot to do with it. I told you, like, jokingly, not jokingly before the show, I'm only taking direct flights this year. If I have to connect, I'm not going to the game.
I especially get it for Jacksonville. That's a rough thing to have a layover in Atlanta for.
Yeah, no. So I didn't go, so I was home watching. And when she said that, my jaw became unhinged from my mouth and hit the floor. Why is what I tweeted so controversial?
So I don't think
it is.
I think it's more that we constantly go to the $230 million.
That's what they paid.
Yeah, I'm aware that's what they
paid.
And
it's the picks even more than the money over something like that.
But it obfuscates the real conversation, which is day to day, minute to minute, how is Deshaun performing, not versus the expectations of when he was traded, but of what he's been here.
Has he lived up to the trade?
No, he hasn't.
Okay.
But that can be true, and you can also look at Sunday as a step in the right direction. And because here's the thing. I think people instantly went to game manager quarterback.
You had one of those here.
Well, and so that's a fair conversation, but that's not Deshaun's fault. Like, Deshaun didn't trade for himself and give him $230 million, and we conveniently...
Here's the tweet. Here's what I tweeted. Deshaun told the CBS crew that he's not trying to be the quarterback he was in Houston. He trusts the talent here more and just needs to be a facilitator. Is that anything false about that statement?
There's nothing false about that statement.
I continue. The Browns probably would have liked to have known they were getting, quote, a facilitator before they gave up three number ones and $230 million. Is there anything false about that statement?
Yes.
What?
Yes, because what? I think this is what Kevin Stefanski wants.
You think this is what he wants?
Yeah, I think Kevin Stefanski...
When Jimmy Haslam, Andrew Berry, and Kevin Stefanski got together on the plane on the flight down to Houston, Jimmy put his arms around the shoulders of Andrew and Kevin and said, all right, listen, we're going to go get a facilitator, and we're not going to take no for an answer. If he tells us no, we're going to add another zero to the check. And we're not going to take no for an answer. We're going to go get a facilitator.
I wouldn't put it exactly like that.
What part is wrong? What part is inaccurate?
I think Kevin is a lot more comfortable with more control and lesser quarterbacks. And so, to me...
Did you see Joe Flacco play last year?
Yeah. And by the way, Kevin had a lot more pre-snap control and a lot more control in general because it was just do what I tell you to do and you'll be fine. I think that's where Kevin and a lot of really smart coaches are more comfortable than we're going to let this guy make plays on his own on things he sees in real time because that gives us less control.
I think Kevin is really good at adapting the offense to the talent that he has.
I don't see... Is he? Because every quarterback, and I will say, Baker and Jacoby are not the same quarterback, and Joe Flacco and Baker are not the same quarterback. But a lot of those guys, their comfort level is in doing... Like, I agree Kevin is good to flip some of the nuances and include things that fit within the purview of his offense. I also don't think I've ever seen Kevin completely tear down and rebuild an offense around a uniquely talented, skill-setted quarterback.
Well, I think they tried to do it week one, and how'd that work out?
I don't think that's because of... I don't think that's fair.
But we're getting off of the point here of this, like, that's the entire... It's all I tweeted.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's Deshaun's fault for signing the contract.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying the Browns would like to have known that they were getting a facilitator because, you know what? They already had one in the building.
See,
but they were trying to get better. And that's why they did what they did.
But I think... So it's less that anything you tweeted was wrong. And I think it's more... One, we've already seen Deshaun not be the most comfortable with messaging externally. That is not part of his skill set.
Yeah, I've noticed. I picked up on that.
Versus like a Joe Flacco. And I do think that holds him back because everybody heard game manager when he said that. I think he's just trying to mimic the words that Kevin Stefanski has said.
No, I think he's not the same guy he was. And I think that's becoming very apparent to everybody. And this is the first year where people have to come to terms with that. Because when the trade was made, a lot of fans did not like the trade. Right? Fair?
Yeah, fair.
And this whole situation was dumped on them. They didn't ask for it. And they had to come to grips with that. And they reasoned that, hey, they got one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And that's what they held on to. And they didn't see it the first year because of the suspension or whatever else. And they thought they were going to see it last year. And they didn't see it last year. And then he got hurt. And now you're coming to grips with what he is. He's not the quarterback that he was 4 years ago. But they're like, it's okay to point that out. The emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. It's also okay to say he's not been that guy yet and wonder if it's still in there. Because within that, like, last year was a step in the right direction. So the two things can be true, which is a cliche I know we all hate now.
We are into year three of a contract and we're talking about taking a step in the right direction.
And he's played 14 games. So how much of that's really on Deshaun? Deshaun didn't get his actions led to a 11-game suspension, but he can't control that. Like, you can't control you got hurt with a shoulder, which right now is the bigger concern for me than anything else other than the latest lawsuit.
So you think he's going to be the quarterback that he was in 2020?
I don't know.
He just got done telling you that he's not going to be.
I don't know, but when I hear, I think he was trying to parrot what Kevin has said. Kevin has told him since he got here, in my offense, just take the easy layups. So I don't, again, I don't think
but
this
they
is
had
some...
a quarterback here who could take the easy layups. And by the way, like I thought they had to do better than Baker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not changing that. Like the Baker thing is really complicated. I don't want to go into the whole thing again, but it was a complicated situation. He was coming up at the end of his contract. They didn't think he was good enough. The Baker you see today is not the guy who was here. I was in that locker room. The Baker that you see in Tampa has been humbled and humiliated by multiple stops in the NFL and almost having his career end in front of him. And I don't think that the Baker you see in Tampa necessarily would have been, they would have ever gotten to that point here. My only point is you had a facilitator here. You had a game manager facilitator here. You traded for a guy who you thought could win you a championship and elevate the entire franchise and do things that nobody else could do, and you are not getting that guy. And that's the only thing I pointed out. That's it.
I think saying that he's taking the easy layups now, or however the phrasing that he used there, I think that's something we're probably talking about now. If we're having the same conversation, if he's healthy and we're talking 6 games from now and it's still just dink and dunk and you don't get those more elaborate shots down the field, I'm probably exactly where you are. The only thing I'm saying is when everybody's shouting, it's over, it's not happening, that's a fan deadline. That is us trying to box this thing up to protect ourselves. this thing's going to happen. Like, he's going to play until the wheels absolutely come off or until this guy figures it out and we see the old Deshaun. I think a good starting point for this year is take the easy victory laps and make the big plays when you possibly can.
And just so, like I know people think I'm totally out and totally against Deshaun, and I have soured on him dramatically from where I was even 6 months ago. Something in my brain broke when he said what he said at the Greenbrier, and I wrote what I wrote over the summer. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I just feel like, and again, with this whole conversation, I just feel like everyone keeps trying to move the goalpost on what they thought they were getting when he got here, and now we're celebrating small, silly victories like 186 yards and the fact he didn't throw an interception.
I don't think that's the victory we're celebrating.
But I also see the play, the escape that he made that everybody is seen 100 times by now to get out of pressure, the sideline pass to Judy, the absolute dart that he threw to Judy 30, 35 yards down the field. Yeah, like that's what you need more of. You need to see more of that. And it's clearly it's in there, but the great quarterbacks show it every single week. And I just don't think it's there anymore.
So I will say that you and I agree on Deshaun's messaging and Deshaun's relatability, which are I don't know that it's even a bigger issue than it is for Deshaun himself. Like, he's not helping himself when he says those things.
Yeah.
Because it sounds defensive instead of vulnerable, which is probably how you can get people to endear yourself. But if you just put Deshaun's performance on 186 yards and no passing touchdowns, I think that is a gross oversimplification of what he actually did on Sunday.
Okay, the offense scored one touchdown. Is that a gross oversimplification?
What about 8 drops in 2 games? What about 3 massive holding penalties or massive penalties in a row that took you from third and manageable to third and 36?
They had 4 offensive linemen commit holds. That's unbelievable. That's got to get cleaned up, obviously. Do you know his expected completion percentage was basically identical to what it was? Basically identical. Like, his CP, and like, I don't want to get in the weeds. I know a lot of people don't get into it, but like, if you look at the game and you look at the advanced stats, his completion percentage was almost identical, within 1.5 percentage points of what he actually was. Drops are part of the game. Of course Amari Cooper should have caught that. Yes.
What about Elijah Moore and I think Jerry Jeudy in the second half? Because those were drive killers. Like, those are real things.
I could point to every single NFL game and show you he should have caught that, he should have caught that, he should have caught that. That's a drive killer. It's part of the game. I'm like, yes, they should have caught those balls. They should have. I'm just telling you, when you look at the whole picture, his completion percentage and his expected completion percentage were almost identical.
Did he show more playmaking ability on Sunday? As much as we've seen in individual games previously.
I thought the first drive was excellent.
I thought the David Bell throw, the David Lee Roth, as I'm calling it, the splits in the air,
yeah,
as he was throwing across his body, I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. I thought the Amari throw was actually right on the money. I mean, you could nitpick it and say move it an inch here, and
it was close. But it wasn't perfect, but it certainly should have been caught. Absolutely, it should have been caught.
So I think it's fair to say if your message on this whole thing is it's not $230 million worth, I totally get it. I'm not here to argue that.
And I think you have to give fans. If you want to support him and like root, go ahead, do it. He's your quarterback. Yeah, support the guy. But there is a large percentage of fans who didn't want him here, who are upset by the trade, who he has not lived up to, and now I don't think we've seen enough indication to ever believe that he can get back to being the player that he was 4 years ago. And this is the first year where a lot of fans have to sort of process that, because they've held out hope all this time that they were getting Houston Deshaun. Houston Deshaun is gone. He's not coming back. But I don't think he is.
But I think the concern is that, I don't know, in the intermediate, I understand big picture. It's constantly, he hasn't been here. That's totally fair. But week to week, that's not the conversation you have in September. That's a conversation you have when you have 6 or 7 or 8 games of groundway or groundway. I don't know what the hell that means. Of evidence to say, well, hell, these next 6 games look just like the first 2 games, and now that's when excuses are real.
If he plays the next 3 games, the next 3 weeks, if he plays like he did in Jacksonville, the Browns are going to have a chance to win the game at the end of the game, and that's all you can ask for. And you take that and you run with it. He's going to have to play drastically better than what you saw in Jacksonville for them to survive this season and have the type of season that fans think this team's capable of having.
I actually don't think, because I think you're having a big picture conversation. I think I'm more in the weeds. I didn't see, because I've heard other people ascribe the term game manager. I get that for some of the throws with Deshaun. I actually saw playmaking on Sunday. And I think the reasons they didn't put up more points, I don't think those are excuses. I think they're valid reasons. I think it starts with drops. Drops turned Patrick Mahomes to ineffective at a point halfway through last year where their games lost because the man threw touchdown passes that were dropped. And, you know, I think the other big thing is, because you've talked about the, you know, rolling the offense back this last week, I think you saw more jumbo sets and more traditional Stefanski.
Yes.
That I think is a lot more about the absence of David Njoku, who's a elite blocker. And what I can only say is a pathetic performance by the offensive line again.
And you don't think it was because he was throwing the ball 7 yards out of bounds?
No, I mean, I think that's a part of it, but I think the lack of coverage is probably underreported at this point.
I'm not following. What do you mean?
Meaning that we have not talked. We've put everything on Deshaun in that Dallas game, as it should be. He was clearly the worst part of the game in the Dallas game.
Yes.
Whereas, like, I think it. So do I think that's a part of it? Yes. But I think once you see a quarterback has better command of where the ball is going, that's something that you can change up very, very quickly once you get outside of the scripted plays. I think the jumbo set, the extra offensive lineman, I think that was an acknowledgement. You're just trying to survive and give this guy a chance to get some protection.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
See, so you think the protection was the problem in week one?
No. Okay. I think there's the problem in this week.
Okay.
And I think it's more likely to be the problem week in and week out until they get some continuity there.
I mean, obviously the holds were terrible. You can't have, I mean, you got guys committing holding penalties in week two that don't normally, how often do you hear Joel Bitonio flagged? How often do you hear Wyatt Teller flagged for a hold?
I didn't like the Wyatt
Ethan Posick. Like, these guys don't normally get flagged for holds, so I have to believe that's an anomaly and that's not going to happen again. The Hudson thing, yeah, he's probably going to get called for more holds.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. But the other guys, that's not going to. But also, if you're going to kill them, you also have to credit them for averaging, what, 4.3 yards a carry in the run game with Jerome Ford and Deontay Foreman back there? That's a credit to the offensive line. And I think the protection could have been better in week two, yes. I don't think it was abysmal. I don't think it was abysmal.
Well, I think it's because they threw more jumbo sets out there. I think because they added more protection in front of Deshaun. And here's the other thing. I think this is like the number one thing that I took away from week two. He actually made plays. There were times where James Hudson, like, that's why when I hear game manager, it has become this panacea, this catch-all of, well, you're just not
just
a top five quarterback.
Up.
Yeah, but that's not what I saw on Sunday. Like, the Browns did win in part. Like, the defense takes the bulk of the credit. No doubts there.
Yeah.
But second up, I do think, is Deshaun. Okay, defense and special teams.
Really?
And then I think, I think Deshaun succeeded in spite of the situation around him, and that's new. Like, I think he made enough plays to say that wasn't something you should expect out of Brock Purdy.
You don't think Brock Purdy can make the plays that Deshaun? Now, the scramble play, again, that was a great play. Like, I'll give him full credit for that. When he kind of walked into trouble and got himself out and chased out of the pocket and threw the sideline ball, that was a great throw. And if we could get three or four of those a game from him, okay. I don't know that that's possible.
But again, that's fair. I think saying I don't know it's possible is totally fair. But I think, you mentioned the Deshaun apologist, which it is fair to say that the goalposts have been moved 17 times over.
They're at midfield.
I also think that, you know, unless we're having the has he lived up to the potential of the the trade conversation, I think the week to week conversation, did you see more good than bad on Sunday? Was this a step in the right direction?
It was certainly a step in the right direction because the bar was under the floor.
So then that's also fair.
But like, so when you watch the Bengals Chiefs game, when you watch the Ravens Chiefs game, they are playing a different game than this Browns offense. They are not playing the same game. And those are the teams you have to compete against.
Yes.
Eventually.
But that's the rub. It is the eventually. Like, I don't know that you need Deshaun to turn the lights on. If your quarterback's playing his best football in September, you're probably screwed. So I always, some of this is informed by, I always thought there were going to be work in progress. And I always thought it was going to take a minute. Some of that is to do with Deshaun coming off an injury. Some of that's to do with the circumstances around him.
Great quarterbacks are great in September, October, November, and December.
How many great quarterbacks have had to go through the circumstances, whether it's self-applied or not, that Deshaun's had to go through? Like, it's so hard to talk about this thing without treating it like its own thing because, yes, I want him to be Mahomes. Well, he hasn't been on the field for 17 games a season like Mahomes has been since 2020. So, like, at some point, like, you need to get good before you can get great.
And that is stunning that you had to say that after the trade and that is the whole point of the tweet. Like, they thought they were getting a completely different guy than what they've seen, and we are now into year three of this. It's a disaster. It is a disaster.
So, but this is the NFL where things change quickly. Like, you can look back at the first 2 years. Deshaun not playing well in the Kubiak offense, that was a disaster in 2020 because you couldn't glean anything positive from that. Deshaun getting injured last year, like, it's a disaster because you would hope he doesn't get hurt. You can't plan for that.
But he wasn't,
part of the
thing. But he wasn't Deshaun of 2020 last year. He had a couple decent games, but at no point last year. I know everyone
five
wants
games.
Everyone wants to, okay. It's five games. Everyone wants to hold on to, like, the second half against Baltimore. I've said this 100 times. Like, the air in their lungs. That's all you heard all offseason was, all right, remember the second half you had against Baltimore? Remember the second half you had against Baltimore? At no point has he, for an entire game, resembled what you thought you were getting.
Arizona.
At no point.
Arizona. I don't know if you remember that game. That was pretty darn good.
I will stand by, at no point since he came to Cleveland has he played a full game where you thought, that's what we signed up for. That's what we thought we were getting.
But so what is the gain to hardline at this point? Like, what is the advantage? What gain do you get?
All I'm doing is keeping the goalposts exactly where they were when the trade was made, mm-hmm. and saying he hasn't lived up to it. And I wrote last week, I would use this lawsuit as an opportunity to get out of this contract in a second.
So do we do this with, and by the way, that's a separate conversation that I think if you think you can, I'm sure to right now the Browns probably think that's a good avenue to go if they feel like that's a possibility.
So
they're not going to do it in the middle of the season.
So then, if you agree with that, I don't understand what we're arguing about.
No, I don't think it's because that's not a conversation. You're not going to do that on October 15th. If that opportunity presents itself,
if the opportunity presents itself on October 15th, you're 100% going to do it.
You still got four games till then, but I understand what you're saying.
Whenever the opportunity, whenever that window opens, you take it.
But I think the big picture.
I think
point
you're probably
here.
Right. It will probably be later, but that's because of.
You're in the middle of the season.
I think attorneys are going to get involved in this. Like, lawyers are going to settle this. Mm-hmm. The Browns aren't. Deshaun's not. There's going to be grievances and hearings and everything. And this whole thing is probably going to be stretched out to beyond the end of the season. But the moment you have the opportunity that window opens to get out of this, you get out of this.
Yeah, but I think the point is, like, this is where you and I differ. We don't hardline anybody in football the way we're hardlining Deshaun. With, well, he's just not what you were traded for, so this is a disaster, so you should get out of it and get the hell out of it as soon as you can.
Because this is an unbelievably unique set of circumstances, one that brought him here, and two, that would allow you even a little bit of an escape clause. This is not normal.
What's behind, right now, today, what's behind door B?
Jameis Winston.
Okay, the 30 for 30 king?
I'm with you.
The guy who his own teammates from Tampa, when he did the eat the W thing, came out and were making fun of him and said that killed their chances to win.
I'm with you. But if Kevin can figure out how to win with PJ Walker, I think he's pretty good at this.
See, I think we keep circling back to it's all on Deshaun and none of it's on the Browns. The Browns made their bed, and so I don't care if Kevin has to dial back the offense to make this work. You set the table, eat the food, and so. To come off this game, like a week ago, man, I could have no defense of you. But you are looking at, with every team in the NFL, not just Deshaun, not just Danny Dimes and the New York slap-ass Giants are looking for glimmers of hope. So the idea that it's somehow homeristic or, well, it's just not working out, so screw this whole thing, that's not a week 2 conversation. That's a week 10 conversation. That's a week 15 conversation. And I do think... within the idea of reacting to what Amanda Guerra said on the broadcast, there's a little bit of, it's a little early to weaponize something that Deshaun probably said offhandedly?
Well, no, she made the point of saying he wants people to know. And you're inferring, well, that's just what Kevin told him. You don't know that.
What Kevin said.
This is what Deshaun wants people to know. Those were her words. He wants people to know. I am a facilitator now.
It's funny how we have gotten into a point where if you say anything positive about Deshaun's play, it is going to wake the bear on the other side.
Yeah, I know.
If you say anything negative on Deshaun, and by the way, I think both things are fair game. Like if where you are, I'm not where you are, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, especially because, you know, we think about how Deshaun has cost himself with his play. I think not making himself more available and showing people that character that he constantly talks about, where he says, well, my teammates know my character. And like, well, okay, you could show like Clevelanders, Like, I don't know there's a more fair place to play football in America than Cleveland, Ohio, because I do think if we think you're a good guy, that goes a long way. You know what I mean? Like, if we think you're not a turd as a human being, that almost makes up for being bad at football.
Most fans, I shouldn't say most. A lot of fans here are so desperate, they'll take a turd if you play well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's 100% fair. And I think, so let me ask you. So you've said that you're out on this idea that Deshaun can get on the right side of this, and the momentum is too...
He will never be the quarterback that they thought he was going to be when they brought him here. I wholeheartedly believe that, yes.
And I do not have any reason to believe that you don't. What does it look like? How can it turn the tide for you mentally? What is the thing? Is it yardage? Is it touchdowns? Is it points per game? Like, what's the thing that you'll find? Is it an amount of games? Like, when is it?
You'll know it when you see it. And I don't mean that as a cop-out, but no, you can't put a yardage marker on it of he has to throw for 300. It would be nice if he could get one 300-yard game. That'd be nice. But you can throw for 300 yards and lose. Mm-hmm. So it's the definition of porn. You know it when you see it. I had that conversation, not to take this back to my previous life, but I had a conversation with LeBron about that one time, about like when you are the greatest of all time, you know it when you see it. There's no way to define it, but when you see that play and you're like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's why they brought him here. And there have not been not enough of those moments. There have been hardly any of those moments.
I'm not saying this specifically to you. So I want to make that clear, because it could come off as like a personal thing. I think it's getting tougher and tougher for people who are where you are, though, that it ain't happening. The sooner this thing gets over, the better. I think it's getting tougher and tougher to go ahead and see things that might hint towards that and say to yourself, like, okay, I think we're actually where we need to be. And maybe this is the recency of this season, meaning like the earliness of the season.
Yeah.
But you said earlier the moving the goalpost. I think that's going on all around me. Like, there's a part of me that feels like I'm Switzerland and I'm watching World War III going around me. Like, can't we just have some cheese and just enjoy each other? Like, there is a part of me, because I think the other side constantly accuses the other side. Now there's a lot of other sides of moving the goalpost, and I think both are true. I think everybody moves the goalpost, and I think the one thing that nobody has changed is the big picture. But I don't think there's anything he could have done in one game to answer every single critique.
Totally agree. Yeah, and there's nothing he's going to do next week that will make me come in here, turn on the microphone, and say, yep, he's back. It's a slow progression of throughout the season, and the fact that the back end of the schedule is brutal. Mm-hmm. And if he comes out and balls out over the second half of the season and they beat some of these teams on the schedule and he looks like the Deshaun of old, we can have that conversation. I will be shocked if we get to that point.
Let's go with Josh real quick here, because he wants to say nice things to you, and I am occasionally nice. Josh, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, and Josh. Yeah, Jason, I don't know what it is. When I was younger, I couldn't stand Lima, and I'm sorry, I couldn't stand you. The older I get, and now that I'm in my 30s, it's like, damn it, these guys are right. Like, why are they right? Why do I end up nodding my head? I want to just be a homer, but like you just said, you know it when you see it. And we haven't seen it. And I want to applaud you just because, hey, we need more guys like you in Cleveland that are not afraid to put their foot down, even if they're going to get flack for it. Because, guys, this is not what we got rid of Baker for.
That's right.
This is not what we got rid of Baker for. If this was what we were expecting, facilitator Deshaun, why give up those picks? Screw the contract. Why give up all those picks? You could have just stuck with Baker Mayfield, build up the offensive line, build up the defense, do whatever you need, surround yourself with more weapons, and just hope and pray to God that Baker could just win one big game.
Josh?
No. Now we're just back to, hey, moving the goalposts over here. I'm having friends sending me TikToks. You see that rushing touchdown that Deshaun had? Awesome, dude.
That's his third best play.
What are we doing here? Like, that should not be the standard. We beat Jacksonville last year. You shouldn't be like, yay, we did it again. Like, that's not the bar we're trying to go up against. We're trying to go up against Kansas City. We're trying to go up against Buffalo, a team who was supposed to not be that great this year, looking great. Why? Because they have quarterbacks that you know at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if they threw for 145. I need to know on 3rd and 11, I can trust you to throw a hard out. and get the ball there. I need to know that you're not going to freak out when you get 1 ounce of pressure in your face. I saw Kirk Cousins have two dudes last night in his face in the final drive, didn't freak out, and had them beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You're telling me Kirk Cousins is more able than Deshaun Watson at this point?
Josh.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes,
Josh,
that's what I'm
telling
you.
We have to boogie there, buddy.
Josh,
we
I'm like Novocaine,
it.
Buddy. Sooner or later, I'm going to wear you down.
I feel like maybe we should have brought out the couch for Josh. No, this is a positive moment because he's getting it all out
getting
there.
Getting it all out. That's right. And I think there's a lot of fans that feel that way that are like, this is not what we were sold. Like, we turned in our Honda Odyssey and we got the payment of a sports car. We were told we're getting a sports car, and we're driving a Honda Odyssey with a sports car payment.
And my response would be, you just drove the car off the lot. I know it doesn't feel that way because chronologically,
well,
it's been 2+ years.
I've been paying on it for 3 years now.
Well, okay, but it needed repairs,
yeah,
I guess.
That's my point.
but that's not the car's fault.
It's not
Don't
the fan's
it
fault
the
either.
Odyssey.
It's not the fan's fault either.
No, it's not. I think what's interesting is, my mission is not to apologize for Deshaun or to recontextualize where we've been. As a matter of fact, I feel like I've spent most of my time just trying to properly keep that context going. But, like, you know, you mentioned the Baker thing earlier. The media greased the skids for Baker because of one bad season. Baker should own his part of
That's
it, and
not
I think
true.
He has.
That's
I,
not true.
I think it was a young coach who wasn't comfortable with a guy that could be a prickly personality. So, like, I'm here to say Baker played, spoke, whatever, his way out of Cleveland. If they had drafted him, they're not doing the same thing they did with Baker. So I think politics made it easier to get rid of Baker, and so we have to learn our lesson. I think we gave the team the out. Well, of course Baker's not playing well. He's being stubborn about playing through injury. I'm not trying to like turn this into an anti-media thing. That'd be a weird thing for a guy that works in the media. But I think my
no,
point
there's
is
times we deserve it.
My point is, I don't think we ever owned, well, what are the Browns should own in this with Baker? Because it was all, well, he's the guy we see. He's doing the Home Alone outfit and the three different mustaches on any given day.
Right.
And by the way, he was a pain in the ass. I'm not trying to say Baker wasn't a pain in the ass. But I think we're doing the same thing now. It's easier to reject the individual player than go, what is the flaw in the process that led us to this moment? Because the fact that the Browns backed themselves into a desperate corner, even if the deal was something that everybody would do, they decided they were desperate and then acted desperately.
The flaw is when someone tells you no, listen to them.
100%. And by the way, you don't get to be Baltimore or Kansas City or Buffalo or Pittsburgh without acknowledging your place in your own failures. That's more where I'm at. It's less, I want to recontextualize Deshaun, and more, all right, let's also see where do the Browns carry some water in this whole conversation. And I think because when you don't do that, it becomes easy to make it a Deshaun problem. It's not. It's a Deshaun and the Browns problem.
I can't kill the Browns for making the trade because I understood it, and I could say defended it because I didn't think Baker was good enough. They had an opportunity to go get what looked like an elite playmaker at that position that never becomes guys, quarterbacks in their prime, that good never become available. So I understood why they did it. So I'm not going to turn around and kill them for making that trade now. But we can also point to it and say this whole thing has been an absolute disaster.
We can also point to a Twitter poll at 923TheFan where 86% of 622 votes say winning the division in baseball is worth a post-game champagne celebration in the locker room. Oh, it's so good to be the king.
So if the Browns win the division for the first time since the 80s, should they have a champagne celebration?
Crack it open. Let's do it. Hell yeah. More champagne. Hey, the Browns, or the Cavs, they won they clinched the championship game in the in-season tournament, which is dumb as hell. Crack the champagne.
That is dumb.
Hey, Ohio State gets to the Big Ten game. Crack the champagne. Let's do this. More champagne.
Ridiculous.
Not less champagne. Jason, great stuff, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.